We're going to discover what's going to be the answer to the Soviet Union that sells China. Let's just repeat what he said and analyze what's the results of the China. How you're going to transport your new trees from the nurseries to your gardens. So, let's move to Sherman Zama Obama. He often had Boris Ashkidim. In our minister level, that is the way we do normally transfer the saplings from the nursery to orchards or to Mr. Goffman's garden. Papi Rove, Ida Hassab of Muhammad, usually they transport it in a car. Well, if you put it in the car hasn't got any holes. It's 13 case, usually made out of metal. Scuba coal, Arbor Studdam, and it's totally closed. Environment for more force. The limiter feeds there. That's what's going on. That means as soon as you take the saplings out of the nursery and put them into the car, the transportation, it's like planting that, so to speak. It's like replanting the tree in the nursery into a pot. No holes in it. A non-holy pot. Nimtza, therefore, we carry on the story. When you take it out at the other end, when you get to Mr. Goffman's garden, you take it out of the car, and you put it into Mr. Goffman's garden, then, it's like taking a tree out of a pot. It's called the love. Still, no matter the merit, I don't care. You're going to have to start again. Why? Because you look out of the ground and you get into a pot, so to be kind of like a pot, channel hole, and if you disconnected it from the air to the ground, the ground therefore, when you do plant it back, the ground.
Rabbi Solomon, you're muted.
I'm getting out and trying to come back again. We can't hear anything.
You're muted, Rabbi Solomon.
I don't think he's hearing us.
I don't believe so either.
Can you hear me?
Now, yes.
Okay. I'll also send you back. So the Shaman Zalman Orbach says that besides being alive, it has to be connected to the ground the whole time. If you put it, Lachora, in the process of transporting, you put it into a pot which has no holes, that's called disconnecting. So that was never a continuation of life in the ground, which is what you need. And therefore you should start again. When you put it into Mr. Goffman's ground, you should say, well, it's going back into the ground, it was up, that ground was in the car. Which is no longer in the car, it's not in the ground. So you start again. That's your Sherman's Zalman Orbach question. It's got its earth around it, so it's living from its earth. But what's this earth? This earth is in the car. And in the car is like being the earth in the pot which has no hole. So therefore the earth is itself disconnected from the ground. So it's living from earth which is disconnected from the ground. Says your Sherman's Zalman Orbach, Does that mean it's disconnected and therefore start again or not? That's his question. Life may not be good enough. Maybe you need continuation of life from ground. This is not life from ground. It's continuation of life, but it's not continuation of life from ground. Because when it's in the car, it can't be called ground. That's it. Do you really need to have from the ground the whole time, or is it good enough life the whole time? And you don't need grounds. So let us see.
Okay.
Good. Okay. We have to be patient today. Okay, so let's carry on. So let us see. Do you need from the grounds or not? So let us see what the Rambam and Rashi say and tell me what they hold. The Rambam says the following words. Hanoter ba'otz of Shein and Orkiv. If you plant a tree in a pot which has no hole, chayev ba'arla, that tree is obligated in Hilchus Arla. So from that Rambam, do you need to be Hilchus Arla? Do you need life from grounds or not from grounds? Well, let me repeat. You put a tree for the first time into a pot which has no hole. Says the Rambam, chayev ba'arla. Does that mean, according to Hilchos Arla, you need life from ground? You need life from ground. You do not need life from ground. Because it's not living from the ground. And it's still chayev ba'arla. Because it's got no hole. Let's see what Rashi says. Oxen, she'en lokev, a pot which has no hole, the chayiv, la'suri midrabonon. Your chayiv to take tumors and mices only below midraisa, but not according to the Torah. Why? Because it's not called, it's in the fields. So according to Rashi, a pot which has no hole, do we relate it for mitzvahs to Lewis for orders? Is it machayev according to the Torah in mitzvahs to Lewis for orders? A pot which has no hole, is it chayev according to the Torah or not? According to Rashi? No. So lachora, Rashi and the Rambam are arguing, the Chara, whether life without being connected to the ground is needed to be connected to the ground to be hive or not. Rambam says, even if it's not connected to the ground, it's still hive. All the mitzvahs are still hard. All the mitzvahs will be hive. The Chara wants the Rambam saying. And you plant a tree in Eretz Yisrael, even if it's not connected to the ground, it's living in Eretz Yisrael, chayv in the mitzvahs. According to Rashi, no, only rabbinically. Only rabbinically. Therefore, this, I want to make a conclusion and never have questions. Therefore, when I ask you this question, you take a tree which is physically in the ground, in the nursery, you put it in the car, which is like a pot, which has no hole. Have you stopped Hilchus mitzvahs through Oretz? Have you stopped Hilchus Arla by putting it in the car? According to what we're saying now, it should be Makhlukas. According to Rambam, have you stopped it?
No.
According to Rashi, have you stopped it? Okay. So, ask Shiloh. So, the Zabu Ubar Shiloh should be big in the Tolly on Makhlukas for Shonin, and therefore depending on what we pass like Rashi and Rambam. Now, questions are allowed. Yes, you. Okay. Yeshua wants to say maybe Rashi arguing, because they really maybe talk about different subjects. One's talking about Hilchos Arla, one's talking about Shumas and Mises, and maybe the rules are different, and therefore they greet each other. Which will come out, if that's true, I have to analyze if that's true, will come out. Then putting it in the car, according to everybody, will it disconnect it from Hilchos Arla? According to what we're saying, if everyone agrees to the Rambam, no, okay. But I'm not so sure, if sure is correct, that they are agreeing with each other, even though they're talking about different subjects. Let us bring a Gemara in Yuma, I'm going to quote this Gemara a little more. And you say, what I'm trying to learn from this Gemara as a proof to the halacha, whether a pot that has no hole has the mitzvahs, has the mitzvahs in it, according to the Torah. Tana Rabbanan, says the Gemara in Yomam. Tana Rabbanan, Misha also bonus, and has to show them, somebody is ill, he's got a terrible disease, stomach disease called bonus. And it's the Kodesh of the Foshes. And it's Yom Kippur. Yeah. So Ma'achidim, even it's not Yom Kippur, Ma'achidim Loisra Akal Kal. So the halacha is, he can be over Isuri Deraisis to save his life. But you should limit it to the most lenient of the Isurim. If you've got choice between Isur, which is lenient, and the Isur, which is Chomor, which is stringent, you choose, obviously, to save the life using the Isur, which is lenient. Okay. So what's called lenient and what's called Chomor in the following scenario? You've got in front of you a choice to save this person's life, either to eat tevel, produce which is grown in Eretz Yisrael, which is called tevel before taking trypanosomiasis. Either eat tevel to save his life, or he needs to eat truma, and he's not kohen and he's not tahor that allows him to eat truma, and therefore under normal circumstances in the Issa. And now we're asking, he's doing which Issa should he do? Tevel or truma? What's more stringent and what's more lenient? Tevel or truma? So the Gemara says, Tanai, it's a machlokas tanoim. Tanya, because we've got a brisa. Machilin mosa tevel. Machilin mosa truma. One brisa says, tevel is lenient in respect to truma, given the tevel and not the truma. Truma is too stringent. Ben tevel, truma but a tevel. The tevel says opposite. Truma is more lenient. Okay. So it's about focus to Tanoim, which one's more lenient, tevel or truma. Now here is kasha. The Gemara's kasha of Rabba. Omer Rabba, the famous Omer Rabba comes down and says, Heicha de Efsha, if it's possible to eat chulin, which is not offset at all, then of course what you eat? So obviously if you've got tevel and it's possible to eat chulin, what how do you eat chulin out of tevel? What should you do to the tevel to be able to eat it as chulin? What should you do? Take some of the so it's possible to take your slice and do that. Okay? So if so, okay, that's possible. So what it says, Rabbi, you're not telling us anything that's a chiddush, Esher b'chulin pshita. Rabbi, I call you a big Amar, a famous Amar, who tells us chiddushim. Here you're telling us, you know what? I tell you, it's a chiddush. If you can eat something which is kosher, don't eat something that's treif. Well, doesn't sound much of a chiddush to me. That's kosher. What are you trying to tell me, Rabbi? That obviously is not, because that's too obvious. I don't need you, the famous rabbi, to tell me that. So what are you trying to tell me, rabbi? Lo, sricha b'Shabbos. I'm trying to tell you, we're talking about on an occasion of Shabbos. On occasion of Shabbos, that's what I'm talking about. Okay? If it's occasion of Shabbos, I'm telling you, normally, are you allowed to be mafresh trumas and maizes on Shabbos normally?
No.
Why can't you mafresh trumas and maizes? What is it? Is it nice or drabon to mafresh on Shabbos trumas and maizes? Is it nice to take trumas and maizes on Shabbos? Or is it drabon to take trumas and maizes on Shabbos? Yes, Mr. Ross said, very good. Drabon, we're in it. So Rabbi is saying, if it's possible to do an instant rabbanon of taking trumas and maizes, rather than keeping it as hevel, which is this is an Araisa, then you know what? You on Shabbos take the Joseph Isis over the Issa Drabon in order to give him kosher food and not give him tevel, which is this tonight. That's why I'm telling you, Rabbi, the famous Amora, I am telling you like this. Okay, now let me ask you something over here. Is that a chiddush when Amora, like Rabbi, comes along and tells you, you've got a choice of doing an Issa Drabon I tell you a chiddush, do it is the wrong. Is that called a chiddush? No. So again, we're back to our question. Rabbi, what are you telling me? You, the famous Amara, won't be telling me something I can work out without you. Of course you can, you mafish to some ices on Shabbos, which is only is the wrong rather than eat tevel, which is the nicer. So you're not telling me anything. Here we're talking about that the produce grew in a pot which has no hole on it. A pot which has no hole on it. Now you're telling me a finished rubber. Do you eat the tevel that comes out of that pot? Or do you actually muff his tumas and mices on Shabbos? Says Rabba, mafish tumas and mices. That's a chiddush. Now, why is that a chiddush? What does that imply about the tevel that comes out of a pot which has no hole? What does that imply of the status of that tevel? What's the status of that tevel? What's the status of that tevel which grows in a pot which has no hole? What's this Gemara telling me? What type of tevel is it? Is it the right tevel or rabbinic tevel? It's what? It's rabbinic tevel. Very good. Now, rabbinic tevel. Because now we're on the same level playing field. What do you do? Do you eat rabbinic tevel, which is Issa D'Rabbanan, or do you muff with tumas and mices from this rabbinic tevel on Shabbos, which is an Issa D'Rabbanan? Both are Issa D'Rabbanan. What should you do? I don't know. Let's ask the famous unknowable Rabbah. Rabbah, now you can tell us a chiddush. Rabbah says, even although to eat the tevel as it is rabbinic, to muff with I tell you, it's better to be mafrish the tumas and mices and over that rabbonon rather than eat over the rabbonon of eating the tevel rabbonon that comes out. That's the chiddush of Rabbah. Okay, so therefore, according to this, what do we see is the status of things that grow in a pot which has no hole? Do we say the Torah recognizes as being chayiv and all the mitzvahs through the Raisa, or the far as the Torah is concerned, it's nothing to rabbinic status at best. Only rabbinic, and therefore, if it's only rabbinic, who is it a riot to? Rashi or the Rambam?
Rashi.
So what's the Rambam going to do this? So we've got a riot from the Gemara in Yuma. That Rashi is correct. As soon as you put it and grows in a pot which has no hole, the Torah doesn't recognize it as called growing bechlal, has no mitzvah at all of its bechlal of tzedulas oret, and it's only a rabbinic institution that says you have to relate to it as being anything. And so that's like Rashi, not like Rambam, as a kash on the Rambam from the Gemara, the famous Gemara Rabbah. What's the Rambam going to do with the Gemara Rabbah? That's giving an answer like Yeshua. I don't want such an answer. And the Rabbi was only talking about, I don't want such an answer. I want to have an answer how the Rambam is going to handle this Gemara in Yoma that implies being in a pot which has no hole is, as far as the Torah is concerned, is nonsense and nothing there existing that makes it higher and mixes it so as well. What's he going to do with this Gemara? Mr. Roth, want to say something? Yes.
Yeah. Why don't we bring a raya from Shemitah? Atzit she'eino nakuv, the whole Ilcha Shemitah is not chal on it.
Okay, so that's another you I brought a raya for the Gemara and Yuma. You want to bring up a Gemara from some halacha that you remember. Okay? What's the Rambam going to do with what we're saying that seems to be just the Gemara's that are options? A pot as a whole, as far as the Torah is concerned, is not growing in Eretz Yisrael. What's it going to do with it? So, let us quote a Gemara in Yerushalmi. The Rambam loves Yerushalmis. The Rambam loves Yerushalmis. Let us see what the Gemara Yerushalmi says. And, lots of questions. See what he says. You tell me what Yerushalmi says and how it helps the Rambam out. Says the Yerushalmi in the Sefer's Armor, number 4 on your sheet. Rabbi Yitzhak Bar Chalkula, B'Shem Chizkiyon. In the name of the Tana Chizkiyon. Hanote ba'otzes she'enu nokuf. Somebody plants a tree in a pot which has no hole. Chayet ba'ol. Obligated on. Oh, that's the Rambam. But that's the Rambam. However, if you've got a machlokas, babli yushami, what do we normally pass it like? Babli. So, okay. He's got a source. How's it going to help? Oh, there's a continuation in the Shami. Let's see what the Shami says. Rabbi Yossi over. Midnay. I don't know reason why you hire the Holland. Why you hire the Holland? Rabbi Yossi said, it needs a reasoning. I'm going to tell you a reason. Midnay. Shashroshim. Mephavivim also. Because the roots penetrate it. The roots penetrate it. That's the reason why it's time. What is the Yerushalmi saying which will help us understand the Rambam and even to fit into the Gemara of Bavli Yuma? What's the he's suggesting? So Yeshua is first suggesting to us, which is the first stage, that Yerushalmi is saying the reasons why it's chayav in the Holland is not because you don't need to be growing from the ground. The reason why it's chayav in Holland because it is growing from the ground, even when it doesn't have a hole, because the roots penetrate. Let us see the play motion. What does it mean, the roots penetrate? Play motion says like this. Nesha shoshim mafafem oso kloma. What does it mean? Shoroshi ilon, the roots of the tree, mafem venotim oso. They move around and make a hole in it. And the tree will be able to get its sustenance through this pot, minaret from the tree, even though it's not yet got a hole, how is that? Can the two arts is already considered as being planted in the ground? So what is he saying is the reason why you have an olive when you have a whole pot? You've got a tree in a pot which has no hole, and it has no hole now. It's still chayav and hole now. Why?
It's considered nakuv.
Eventually, it will destroy the pot. And therefore, since it eventually destroys the pot, why? Let me ask the problem, Mr. Goff. It eventually will destroy pots. Okay. So when it destroys it, then it's part of the ground. Why are you saying before it's destroyed, it's already part of the ground now? Why? Just because in 2 weeks' time it will have a hole means it's considered like it's got a hole now. Why? So now it should be part of the ground. Now, until 2 weeks, it should not be part of the ground. Okay, you need to have a holy pot. It's not a holy pot. When it gets holy, then it'll be part of the ground. Until then, it's not part of the ground. Why is it saying even before it gets a hole, it's already considered as it's got a hole and it's part of the ground? Why? The moment it's got no hole, and this moment of time it's getting its sustenance from its own earth, which has not got a hole around it. So why is it now considered part of the ground? Well, this is Mr. Aaron. Mr. Aaron, got it. Yeah, we seem to be relating the future to use it even now. How can we do that? What's the mechanics that allow us to say what's in the future applies now? What's that mechanics? Yes. Mr. Goffman's speaking now. I'll repeat what he says. Okay. So Ms. Goffman's saying a temporary interruption is nothing. It doesn't help me to explain where's such a source, and that's not his words. He seemed to be saying that's not, it's considered even in the grounds now. Not that it's a temporary interruption. It seems to his stress of wording is that even when it's got no hole, it's already in the ground now. Not that a short time doesn't matter. So let me throw out a svara, which we'll see in more detail the next time.
Rabbi Solomon.
Yes, Rabbi Yaakov.
All that is, I would say all that is assuming that it's a pot made of, out of clay.
Okay, we're going to
see. But if it's not made out of clay.
Yeah, very good, Rabbi Yaakov. We're going to see what's the material that we're talking about. We'll talk about material, that's the next stage. But let's just understand the concept of what it's saying now. It's saying now the following. You have rights to disagree with me, but I saw this in the Minchas Yitzchak as suggesting of how it's working. He's saying like this. It's growing from earth in its own pot. Is that earth considered earth, ground earth, or is it considered disconnected earth? The tree is growing in a pot, in earth in the pot. The earth in that pot, is that considered earth or ground, or not earth or ground? Says the logic of this Yushami, in Rabbi Yossi, is that if the roots will take away the barrier, and it's only a temporary barrier, this pot, because it's going to be holding in 2 weeks' time, then a temporary barrier is not a barrier. Temporary barrier is not a barrier, therefore there's no separation between the earth, halakhically, which is in the pot, and the earth which is part of the land. Even the earth which is in the pot is considered earth land. It's considered earth of the land. Because that you see there's a separation, that separation halakhically doesn't exist. As Mr. Aaron says, a temporary barrier is not a barrier. A loss in the Kodesh, chatzitza, which is money, is not a chatzitza. It doesn't work even now. It's not called a separation. We see this in Hilchus Tumah, that Tumah stops if you've got a barrier in front of you. But if the barrier is self-destructing barrier, it's not called a barrier even now, and the Tumah goes through now. So here also, this is not a barrier, this pot. And therefore, the pot is not separating the earth, which is in the pot, or the earth, which is land, and the earth, the pot, is called earth, which is land. And therefore, the tree is growing from the land, and you're high with all. Okay? So, assumption that even there's no assumption, he's even a makar from Hilchus Tumah for such a concept. Barriers are not barriers if they're temporary barriers, self-destructing barriers. Yes, Mr. Eric. Temporary chatzitza is a chatzitza.
Right.
But that is a different halacha where there's a special desert of costas and hilchos tevila. When we learn tevila's daily, there's a special halacha that says water has to touch everything. So maybe it's not a chazitza, but it's not called water touching everything. It's a special posik by Tzvi Kopri rise from Tzvi Tzvi. Okay, so based on this, let us see the wording, and finish off with the wording of the Rambam, how he answers the question. He said, oh, Rambam, you don't fit with Yuma. You don't fit with Yuma, because you say it's the Raitza in a pot which has no hole. Is the Raitza, Yuma says it's only Drabonon. Look at the wording of the Rambam, number 5. Hanotea ba'otzev she'ena nokev, chayet ba'ala. You plant a tree in a pot which has no hole, it's midaraita chayev an od. Afa b'she'ena ka'oretz l'zra'im. Even although this pot is not considered part of the land of Eretz in respect to seeds and grains, hari ka'oretz l'ilonus. But it is considered like the land of 12 trees. What's the difference between trees and grains? Why is the grains in a pot which has a hole sent out of Eretz Israel? And why is the tree which is in a pot which has no hole considered in Eretz? What's the difference?
Roots.
Because one of them has roots and one doesn't have roots. Trees has strong roots, and the melee, if it has strong roots, you shall be tells us it will penetrate and destroy the pot, and therefore even when it doesn't destroy it, there's no separation, it's even exile now. Whereas grains, which has no roots which are strong enough to do such a thing, are permanently separated out of everything. So I'm not letting it exile. Maybe the Gemara and Yuma, when it's talking about chumas and vices, in the eyes of the Rambam, what's that sugar talking about when it says chumas and vices are only rabbinic if it grows in a pot in Eretz Yisrael, where outer holes only rabbinic? It's not part of it. So what's it talking about? Grains. So grain is no kasha the Rambam. So we conclude that there's a special halacha in trees that allows you to look at pots without holes as if there is holes, as if part of Eretz Yisrael, because their roots can make holes and therefore considered even holy now. And Hilchos Arda. Hilchos Arda applies on only trees or everything. What does Hilchos Arda apply? Arda. Only fruit trees. So in Hilchos Arda, we're always talking about trees. That's why the Rambam says, you are chayv and arda when you plant a sapling. You're chayv and arda even if the pot has a hole, because it's always got roots. And it's always got like it's a hole, even when it hasn't got a hole, because it will penetrate. So therefore, we'll see, Mr. Shemwin and Captain, what's the materials doing around? Is that work by every material, or does it work by every material? Not yet. We'll see. Thank you for joining us. Sorry for the disturbance.
We have a terracotta pipe for the sewer. We have a terracotta pipe for the sewer, and the roots go through it.
Repeat yourself, Mr. Goffer, didn't hear, because there's a big mess.
Okay, I'll repeat myself. I say a sewer line, the sewer line in our house is terracotta, and the roots penetrate through it.
You had a tree in your house and it penetrated through.
I have a lot of trees, and I said, but the sewer pipe, it's an old house, 150 years old. And the sewer pipe is terracotta, which is like atzitz, and the roots go through it.
Yeah. So roots are very strong. They penetrate the pastor's house in America. Yeah, that's definitely true. We'll see what it does. It applies to all materials next time. Hashem, we'll see you tomorrow for Choshen Mishpat. Thanks for joining, everyone.
Thank you.
Rabbi Yaakov, wish you better. Of course, you'll ever soon.
Have a good day, Rabbi.
Have a good day.